This is Jay Sekulow at the NATO summit. The president says Germany is a captive of Russia.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Germany is a captive of Russia because they supply. They got rid of their coal plants. They got rid of their nuclear. They're getting so much of the oil and gas from Russia. I think it's something that NATO has to look at. I think it's very inappropriate. You and I agree that it's inappropriate. I don't know what you can do about it now, but it certainly doesn't seem to make sense that they pay billions of dollars to Russia, and now we have to defend them against Russia.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
They're not paying as much as they should. We shouldn't be paying more in the United States to defend Europe than they're willing to spend in their own defense.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Everybody, welcome to the broadcast. Well, the president making news this morning in NATO, and that is because he's told those in attendance that he called Germany a captive of Russia because at the North Atlantic Treaty Organization meeting, he took aim at Russia because the fact is, not Russia, at Germany, because Germany is doing so much business with Russia, especially on oil and gas, that he calls them a captive. So I want to get an explanation of what this means and why this is important. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, and we're going to get into this in detail today about NATO. Let me say this also, though, at the outset. We're dealing with NATO at the American Center for Law and Justice. And you may say, in what context? Well, a NATO partner of the NATO alliance, that is Turkey, is a NATO member, has captive right now Pastor Andrew Brunson. All of this ties in. And the president has been very aggressive in his advocacy, as has the vice president and Secretary Pompeo, demanding the release of Pastor Brunson. But we actually sent out correspondence to the NATO commanders about this issue and to those that are in charge of NATO. But let's talk about this oil and gas situation, what the president's talking about, as there's this realliance of what it means to be in NATO. So I'm going to go to Harry Hutchinson, our director of policy, right here. By the way, phone line's open for you. What do you think about the president's tough talk at NATO? They're an ally, but is this a situation that needs to be not just reevaluated, but repostured so that it is a more effective alliance? It's not so effective right now when the United States is paying basically all of the freight on this, but let me go to Harry Hutchinson. The president says Germany is captive to Russia after the pipeline deal. What is the pipeline deal, first of all, so people understand?
Well, essentially, it's the Nord Stream pipeline deal between Germany and Russia. So the pipeline will serve northern Germany, and essentially Germany will receive 70% of its natural gas from Germany. And so this raises a quintessential question. Why should Americans risk their life, limb, and treasure for Germany if Germany is unwilling to meet its own NATO defense commitments and if Germany is indirectly subsidizing the Russian military? In my opinion, that makes no sense.
So Skip Ash is a senior counsel for the ACLJ, a retired colonel in the United States Army, from the United States Army, and knows NATO well, has worked in those areas. What is your sense on what the president's saying here? And you're familiar with NATO. What is your kind of overview? We've got about a minute here.
Well, I think it's exactly right. When Germany is becoming so dependent on natural gas from Russia that if anything happened, if there were a crisis in the West, all the Russians have to do is stop the flow of their energy and the economy would be crippled. And what that does, that would drive a wedge within NATO because the Germans would be caught between a rock and a hard place. They would have no energy or they have to side with their allies. And so this is where the danger is. The Russians have already shown they're willing to use the natural gas weapon when they've used it against Ukraine. So there's no reason to think that they would not use it in a crisis against Germany.
We have a lot to talk about. And we're going to get into the NATO alliance, its history, its impact, what it means, why a reevaluation, not pulling out, but reinforcing what NATO is supposed to be doing and getting real about the situation. And we want your calls on all of this. What do you think about the president's tough talk? 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Also, don't forget the ACLJ. We're in a matching challenge campaign. By the way, let me just say this at the outset. Your support for the ACLJ this month has been incredible, and we really appreciate it. But we appreciate you continuing that. ACLJ.org. Any match you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. That's ACLJ.org. Back with more, including your calls at 800-684-3110.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Our director of policy, Harry Hutchinson, asked this question in his analysis: will President Trump put America first in his fight with NATO? Well, let me give you a couple of sound bites to kind of put that in context here. This is the NATO Secretary General in response to President Trump. This is sound bite number. Should we start with number two, maybe? Let's do number two.
I think that two world wars and the Cold War taught us that we are stronger together than apart.
Can you be together when a country is getting its energy from the person you want protection against or from the group that you want protection?
Because you understand that when we stand together, also when dealing with Russia, we are stronger. I think what we have seen is that...
No, you're just making Russia richer.
Well,
you're not dealing with Russia, you're making Russia richer.
I mean, you got to love this. If you're somebody that wants to make, I want a strong NATO alliance. I think NATO's important, but I think this has been a one-way street. And it was one thing when it was right after World War II. But let me tell you something: Germany is the most powerful economic engine, Harry, in Europe.
Absolutely, and the United States continues to enjoy a trade deficit. So there's a trade imbalance with Germany. They want to profit from the United States and from Russia, and then turn to the United States to defend them against Russia, while Russia has the power through this gas deal to move a wedge between Germany and NATO. This makes no sense. For too long, the American people have gotten the short end of the stick, and this must stop immediately.
Let me go back up to Washington, D.C. with our Director of Governmental Affairs, Than Bennett. So, Than, obviously, President, tough talk on NATO, understands the importance of NATO, but wants to make sure that there's some equity in this. And Germany, by the way, is the largest economic engine in Europe, a big GDP. Let me also say at the same time, the American Center for Law, we're dealing with NATO right now on behalf of Pastor Andrew Brunson, and we're going to be talking about that in the third segment of the broadcast. We'll be joined by our senior counsel, CeCe Heil. So let me go to you, Than, and get your sense of the reaction on Capitol Hill with some tough talk coming to our allies. Basically, get in line here and meet your obligations.
Yeah, just generally speaking, first of all, Jay, it's a huge shift in U.S. posture in one of these summits. I mean, it's coming to it from with a posture of strength while previous administrations have not done that. But, Jay, I listen to the clips that you just played, and what I hear is a president who is incredibly comfortable in this role. This is what he has done for his entire life. It's playing to his strengths. He's a negotiator. He's an art of the deal kind of guy. And I hear in those clips, Jay, the reason that he was elected. I think the people that went to the polls and voted for Donald Trump wanted wanted him to go to the rest of the world and sort of level the playing field, right? We've been paying more than everybody else while getting less than everyone else. They elected Donald Trump, the businessman, the negotiator, to start leveling that playing field, and I think that's what he's doing. Jay, to be honest with you, I think on Capitol Hill, I think they lag a little bit behind the American people in getting to that place, but they're going to get there. The American people were first. Donald Trump is doing what he told them he would do, and Capitol Hill will understand that eventually.
Hey, Skip, I think it's important for people to understand what NATO is and the importance of it. We're not in any way denigrating the importance of the NATO alliance, but we just think that the NATO alliance needs to be reformulated so that it makes sense in the world we now live in and not allow governments to do things that are ridiculous that end up impacting it. Go ahead and explain what it is.
Well, absolutely. The NATO alliance formed after World War II when the Iron Curtain began to come across Europe between the Soviets and the Americans and our allies. It's a military alliance. It's there to protect the Western world. We gain a lot from it, actually, because we learn how to operate together. We have our equipment so that our radios can talk to each other. We understand certain procedures. We develop standard operating procedures so that everybody, when we come together, we practice them and everybody understands the language. So no matter what nation you come from, you're able to fulfill your obligation. The problem is that when there seems to be no threat on the horizon, then nations act like democratic nations do, and they begin to say, well, let's not use money for defense. Let's use money for some other project, you know, Social Security or health care or whatever. And by doing this, they have let their military, in this case, they've let their military go to pot. Germany has been using broomsticks to simulate rifles because they don't have enough rifles for their army. Their whole submarine fleet has been is down, so they can't deploy their submarines. They've been using civilian vans in lieu of armored personnel carriers on maneuvers because they don't have enough parts to keep them up. That's the state of German military. And when you consider that Germany is the strongest economy in Europe, there's no excuse for that. They should take that money and they should get their military ready in case something comes. It's too late to try to get your military ready when the enemy is on your borders.
All right, let's go ahead and take phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. What do you think of the president's tough talk regarding NATO and NATO allies, getting this kind of reformulated a bit? I think it's I'd sure like to hear your comments on it at 1-800-684-3110. Let me also say that we're being joined right now on call line number one. Robert is calling from Maryland. Hi, Robert. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Jay. How you doing?
Good.
I wanted to ask you and also the other people at the ACLJ, do you believe that in lieu of President Trump's talk about wanting other nations to increase their defense budget as NATO members, that they're going to do that? And in addition to that, do you believe that in addition to being able to stop Russia from conquering all of Europe, that NATO should also be very concerned about dealing with Islamo-fascist terrorism?
Well, look, I think that when you look at NATO, you do see both the threat of the of Russia, but you also see this, we call it an unholy alliance with Islamic fascism. Not that that it's any less for some of these other countries within Europe, but within the NATO alliance, it's a serious issue. And I look at it that way. But let me go to Skip Ash, because he's worked on the NATO front in the military. What's your sense?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The nations, the new nations of NATO that were along with, were either in the Warsaw Pact at one time or are along the border with Russia, those are the ones most willing to cough up money because they have sensed the danger. It's the ones farther west in the NATO alliance which would rather spend their money on something else. Nonetheless, I think since President Trump has been in office, we have seen at least a public willingness to say, yes, we haven't been investing enough, and yes, we are going to increase our investments up to the goal at least by 2024. Better late than never, I suppose. But the idea is that he has turned around, at least in their minds, what needs to be done. And he has embarrassed them publicly and shown their weaknesses, which they had not revealed to their own people.
Let me play for you, this is bite number five, the president at the NATO summit, and get your reaction to it. We'll take your reactions, your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let's play it.
It's very sad when Germany makes a massive oil and gas deal with Russia where you're supposed to be guarding against Russia, and Germany goes out and pays billions and billions of dollars a year to Russia. So we're protecting Germany, we're protecting France, we're protecting all of these countries, and then numerous of the countries go out and make a pipeline deal with Russia, where they're paying billions of dollars into the coffers of Russia.
So what do you think about that, Harry?
Well, the president makes absolute sense. NATO and Germany in particular need leadership, leadership with foresight. It's important to note that the three Baltic states, Lithuania, Estonia, and Latvia, along with Poland, they are on the front lines. They recognize the danger. They have complied with their NATO defense commitments. On the other hand, Germany, an extremely rich country, refuses to comply, and they continue to rely on the following claim. We are an independent country. We need to look out for our interest. And so I think President Trump is perfectly correct in replying, America needs to look out for its interest. And President Trump continues to put America first. And so the NATO alliance needs to be reconfigured to shore up defense spending. And if the other Western countries are unwilling to do so, then we need to rethink our approach to NATO.
So Lee on Periscope asked this question, is Germany funding Russian aggression? And I want to go first to Skip very quickly on this, and then I got a question for Than following that up. Is Germany funding Russian aggression?
Most of Russia's exports are natural resources like natural gas. So that's where they get their money, and that's what they're using to build their armed forces, and their armed forces then are being used against Ukraine, for instance. So I think the answer is yes.
All right, so then I add the political question, Than, I want to ask you, and that is this, and it actually falls off of something that Daryl on Periscope wrote. The world has gotten used to the U.S. not taking as strong of a stand. How is the Congress? You said they're lagging behind the American people on this?
Well, I think they've gone complacent as well, Jay. I mean, I think there's actually quite a bit of relief on Capitol Hill that we finally do have a strong president. But I would tell you that members of the House and Senate aren't used to this tone. But look, if you want to keep the NATO alliance, if it's going to be an alliance worth keeping, you have to have partners that agree with the terms and uphold their end of the bargain. Think about those numbers that you just talked about with Skip. The United States GDP is so much larger than Germany's, and yet we're spending about 4% of our GDP,
yeah,
and they're barely north of 1%. Come on, that has got to change.
All right, we're going to take your calls. We're trying to get a lot of calls coming in. 1-800-684-3110. Your reaction to the tough talk coming from the president as he sits down with our NATO allies. 1-800-684-3110. So we'll take your calls when we come back from the break. We're going to be joined by CeCe Howe. We got a letter right here. I'm showing it to you, actually. This is what we've said. We're to say that the ACLJ, what do you know about NATO? A lot, because we deal with NATO. We're having to deal with NATO on behalf of a client. Clients in jail in a NATO ally country, Turkey. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at aclj.org. Back with more in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
So the president is at the NATO conference, which includes Turkey, because Turkey is a NATO ally, the American Center for Law and Justice involved in that issue as well. Why are we involved with NATO? Because we've got an American citizen, a pastor, Pastor Andrew Brunson, who has been in jail now for over a year and a half in a Turkish prison, charged with bogus charges. We've talked about those before. And next trial date is coming up July 18th. President has stated on numerous occasions that he's not only stated, he's demanded the release of Pastor Brunson. There is work going on within the State Department on that as well from the Secretary of State. Cece Howell is a senior counsel with the ACLJ, and she's headed up our legal team that's dealing with this issue of, and it's a significant one in our view, and that is the continued captive. I mean, that's what he is, hostage almost. I wouldn't say, almost. Political pawn for sure,
right,
of Andrew Brunson. And we've sent a letter, and let me hold it for everybody to see it, Cece, before you're talking about it. This is, sure, a document that we've sent to NATO. So we're dealing with NATO on a first basis. So, Cece, what have we asked, right, for here?
Yeah, we sent that letter to the permanent representative of each NATO member state. And we asked them to remind Turkey of its international commitment under NATO, being committed to the principles of individual liberty, democracy, human rights, and the rule of law. And that's the NATO commitment. And then we asked them, because they have violated that with respect in regard to Pastor Brunson, to demand Pastor Brunson's immediate release.
So this is a letter, though, so everybody understands what we've done at the American Center for Law and Justice. So you understand the nature and scope of what we do at the ACLJ when we're talking about these issues. It's like when we talk about the issues of the law of war and armed conflict, we've handled those cases at the International Criminal Court in The Hague. I mean, we've been involved in those issues. So on NATO, what do we know about NATO? A lot, because we're dealing with NATO right now. So we've sent a demand. I wouldn't call it a demand, but it's a legal
request.
Yes, yeah. You don't demand it from an ally. Well, the president's demanding of the release from an ally, so I guess you do. But what are we specifically asking for here?
We're requesting them to get involved and to actually
contact.
So in other
words, have NATO as an entity involved,
absolutely,
in this.
Absolutely. And to remind
Turkey. What's the legal
Turkey,
authority for that?
It's under the NATO agreement,
okay,
that NATO state member states,
yep,
are to be committed to, and it specifically says, individual liberty, democracy, human rights, and the rule of law. And we know almost every single one of those have been violated with regard and respect to Pastor Brunson and this sham trial that's going on and the bogus indictment against him.
Yeah, this is a 12-page legal brief that we have sent to NATO. So, and I will tell you this, the president is committed to securing the release of Pastor Brunson. But our NATO ally, Than, has been a tough partner here.
Yeah, let me just say on a practical level, Jay, why this letter is so important. Because I think our listeners and I have probably seen news clips today of President Trump and President Erdogan and the other leaders walking in for family photos at the NATO summit and the rest. And you've seen President Trump and President Erdogan having one-on-one personal conversations. This letter is important, Jay, because all of the other 28 allies that are at that meeting have also been informed about this situation. So as President Erdogan is interacting on a one-on-one level with the leaders of these allies, they all know about this situation, and it's very likely to come up from them as well. So what it does is it disallows President Erdogan from being able to go to these international summits without this issue of Pastor Brunson being raised. It's tedious work on our part, Jay, but it's why we do it, so that the international pressure raises, and it's not just the United States speaking out for Pastor Brunson.
Yeah, so what we're trying, and this letter was sent back in April. Did we get a response from NATO?
We did not get an official response, and I cannot tell you how many.
I wanted to stop with that for a moment. I want people to understand. You want to know why your president's over there renegotiating who NATO is and how they respond is? We sent a letter because of a NATO member country violating the fundamental aspects of the NATO alliance, the legal documentation of it, and that NATO doesn't respond. Now, we're paying for NATO, you and I, so you know what you should do if you're NATO? Respond. So does it need to be re-looked at and renegotiated? You bet. Because there's an innocent American in a jail, not just one, by the way. There's four others that we know of that are in jail as well. But Pastor Brunson is the case. We're representing the pastor, so that's one we're most familiar with. But do you think there's a problem if a NATO ally is not responding to letters or legal issues raising an issue of another NATO member state. That's part of the problem with the whole NATO situation. It's a bureaucracy,
right,
like any of these other bureaucracies we deal with in the United States or around the globe. Cece?
And this is a perfect example of a great time for them to engage and actually take action and be involved, holding another one of their NATO members, holding them responsible for the commitments that they have made.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. We got Daryl on Periscope said, the world has gotten used to the U.S. not taking strong positions or strong stands with NATO. Harry, I think that's true.
Absolutely. So if you look at recent U.S. history, prior to the Trump administration, the United States continued to offer lovely statements.
And that's Republican administrations and Democrats.
For NATO,
yeah,
without trying to enforce true NATO commitments. So in other words, President Obama, President Bush, and others have been willing to allow the American people to bear a disproportionate burden while many European countries have gotten richer and richer. And since we've created this history, if you will, over the last 20 or 30 years, these countries have difficulty taking President Trump seriously. And I think they will learn over time that they need to take President Trump seriously. Otherwise, there will indeed be consequences. Those consequences should be very serious going forward.
Yeah. So Sarah on Periscope wrote this in. When you put on pressure like President Trump is doing, it forces countries to show where they truly stand. Now, Than, we've got a situation where we are dealing with NATO right now on behalf of Pastor Andrew Brunson. And the truth is, as you said, there's pictures of Erdogan walking in there into the meetings with the president. Now, I'm hopeful that there will be conversations involving Pastor Brunson. I'm sure those are going to be raised again because the president's been consistent in demanding and raising that issue directly with the president, Erdogan. But what do you sense with what Sarah said, that now you've got a president that actually is putting pressure on its allies to live up to their commitments?
Well, I'd start with where Harry ended. I think these countries, Jay, are starting to take the president seriously. I think they have had a habit of not taking the U.S. president seriously because there's never been any recourse. But look, let's just look at some of the numbers because this pressure is already starting to work. Back in 2017, just last year, only five of these NATO allies met their 2% defense spending requirement as it relates to GDP. Jay, in 2018, eight of those countries, so three additional ones, are supposed to meet it, and another 10 are on track to meet it by 2024. So I would just suggest to you that the pressure from President Trump is already working. Now, it's going to take some time for all 28 of the allies to get there, but I think all you have to look at is the last 6 months of track record, as three or more have met that hurdle, and another 10 have plans to get there over the coming years. But Jay, it shines a brighter spotlight on a major ally like Germany with a giant GDP. If they're still only at 1%, that's a major problem, and I think the president is right at this summit to single them out for it.
Cece, we only got less than about 40 seconds here. So what is the next move on the Pastor Brunson's case for our audience?
We're preparing for the July 18th trial. We just got a response from the UN Working Group on Arbitrary Detention, so we have 10 days to formulate our reply, which we are doing starting today.
Okay.
And so, you know, just praying that at the end of this trial, he'll be released.
Yeah, or that that he's released before the trial would be even better.
Absolutely.
I know the president's working on that. All right, we've got a lot more on this topic of NATO. We're going to take your calls. We've got some folks on hold. We'll get to you right after the break. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. The president's got tough talk on NATO. We want to know what you think about it. 1-800-684-3110. And again, where your support for the ACLJ is critical. We talked about Pastor Brunson's case. We talked about dealing with NATO. We don't just talk about it here. We're doing it. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. That's ACLJ.org. Be in prayer for Pastor Brunson and his family. We'll be back with more, including your phone calls, when we come back from the break at 800-684-3110.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.
So there's a NATO meeting going on, and the president is laying it out. And I'm going to go back to what I played in the very beginning of the broadcast, and that's the president in a conversation where he was talking to the NATO Secretary General about his view. The president saying, hey, Germany, you're not carrying your weight. And, by the way, you're doing business with the Russians, enriching them so that they can then have armaments that maybe you're so concerned about, and that's why we have a NATO alliance. All right, take a listen.
I think that two world wars and the Cold War taught us that we are stronger together than apart.
Can you be together when a country is getting its energy from the person you want protection against or from the group that you want protection against?
Because we understand that when we stand together, also when dealing with Russia, we are stronger. I think what we have seen is that...
No, you're just making Russia richer.
Well,
you're not dealing with Russia, you're making Russia richer.
I'll tell you what, say what you want. This is a tough president, and he is letting our allies know that he is not going to be pushed around. And by the way, that's us being pushed around. So we're going to take some calls, though, because I said we would do that in the first segment. The second half, we normally don't, but we're going to do it because folks have been on hold. 1-800-684-3110. Gary is joining us from Illinois. Gary, you're on the air.
Jay, this is what I don't understand.
Yep.
First of all, Putin has expressed his Christian roots, and it seems to be going to the Orthodox Mass. He seems to be online with Christian principles. By the same token, his government has also recognized that the jihadist movement is, you know, a terrible stain. But here he is supporting Iran, where Iran is talking about the destruction of Israel and everybody else that's in their line of fire. I don't understand Putin's alliance with the Iranians.
Well, I don't look. I'm not going to say that Vladimir Putin's operating under Christian principles. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to tell you what I think. I think that, look, this is a geopolitical issue. Understand that. So it is Russia trying to gain influence in a region where we came out of, and that was the Middle East. So you got Iran, who's the proxy, you know, Syria basically is Iran's proxy. The president, Putin, takes action in favor of the Syrian regime because it gives him access to warm water ports. So it's very geopolitical in scope, as is the fact that a NATO member, Turkey, talking about Islamic concerns, where you've got a rising Islamic government, that Turkey is holding a NATO member citizen, let's just look at it that way, a NATO member citizen, innocent, on charges of espionage for Christianization. And that's actually the words they use in the indictment of Pastor Andrew Brunson. And they're a NATO member. So you tell me if you think this needs to be realigned a little bit. And that's one of the things, Cece, we've called for in this legal brief that we filed with NATO.
Absolutely. I mean, just alliance by definition has to mean that you're friendly. I mean, you're an ally, and it is ridiculous that we have a NATO ally, Turkey, that has been able to hold an innocent pastor, a political hostage, for over a year and a half.
Yep.
With absolutely no consequences whatsoever. And
none.
That's why we demanded and sent a letter to every permanent representative of NATO saying, get involved, get engaged, hold Turkey responsible for this.
So, Than, what is the reaction? You've got senators of both Democrats and Republicans that are saying the same thing, demanding the release of this pastor, a NATO ally, being held by a NATO ally.
Yeah, two-thirds of the United States Senate, Jay, which you know this, in this political environment, getting two-thirds of the United States Senate to agree on anything. I mean, you know, what the weather is like outside is nearly impossible. They have stood firm with us on this case on both sides of the aisle. Senator Shaheen, frankly, on the Democrat side of the aisle, along with Senator Tillis from North Carolina on the Republican side, have been at the forefront of this. Senator Tillis has been over to Turkey multiple times. Senator Shaheen was over recently. So, yes, in a bipartisan, bicameral basis in the United States Congress, they have followed the lead of President Trump in taking a tough line with President Erdogan and insisting that Pastor Brunson come home.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We'll get more of those after the break. Again, your support of the ACLJ critical in our Matching Challenge Month. ACLJ.org for that. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're getting a matching gift for. So if you're listening to us on radio, you're going to go to a commercial break. If you're watching us on Periscope or on Facebook or any other social media platforms, you're about to see a video that our team has put together for you. So stay tuned for that. And again, if you want to talk to us on air, we'll take more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
All right, we're talking about NATO, and we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me go to Professor Hutchison here and our Director of Policy. So, Harry, what do you propose? The president's talking tough, which I think is the right thing to do. What do you think we should be doing?
Well, I think what we should do is precisely what the president is currently doing. The president of the United States, President Trump, is speaking to three different audiences simultaneously. First, he's speaking directly to NATO leaders and our allies. Secondly, he's speaking indirectly to the people in Germany and NATO. And third, President Trump is speaking to our enemies. It's important to note, by way of background, that Chancellor Merkel, her status as chancellor is quite precarious at the moment, in part because she has not uniformly put Germany's interest first. She created a crisis for Europe by opening the doors to unlimited immigration in 2014 and 2015. That led, at least indirectly, to Brexit. And I think it may ultimately lead to her loss of power. Many of these leaders, in my opinion, they need to be removed from office. And we need new leaders who are going to follow Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania's example in firming up their commitment to NATO.
Let me take Michaelia's call, because I think it's really related to that. North Carolina, line two. Michaelia, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Jay.
Sure.
I was listening to your segment on where it is focused on money and the GDP and how Germany is not paying its fair share. I think there's another aspect to consider, which may be more of a philosophical nature. It is clear to everybody now that Germany is allowing unfettered migration to take place, importing Islamic terrorism, which has spread all over Europe. And it's clear that the cultures of the various nations in Europe are being undermined. My question is, who are we defending? The president is very strong in clamping down on illegal immigration in this country. We have decimated ISIS way over there, and yet we are called to defend member nations who are not controlling their Muslim immigration to their country. Who are we supporting, and who are we defending?
Remember, it's the issue of not as just of Muslim immigration, because countries allow Muslims to come in. I think that's fine. It's who are the people you're allowing in, whatever group they are. And what are they adding to the society, or what is the issue? And are you allowing people that have Islamic terror ties in because you have unfettered immigration? I think politically, Harry, that's cost Merkel, may cost her her government.
Absolutely. And Douglas Murray wrote a fantastic book last year, The Strange Death of Europe, in which he suggested that the Europeans are slowly committing civilizational suicide. And one of the ways that they are doing that is by allowing unfettered, unvetted immigration. I think most countries are fine if they allow legal immigration, but Germany simply opened the floodgates. And many of these immigrants or migrants, they flooded other countries. This has produced a strong reaction in Hungary, in Poland, and elsewhere. And indirectly, as I've suggested earlier, it led to Brexit. And so I think it's very, very important for the Europeans to take a step back and ask themselves, what do they want in a country? Do they want to defend Western values, which are largely Christian in origin, or do they want to defend some type of universalism in which the borders are open, possibly to Islamic terror? That is the question.
So at the same time, it's interesting, Cece, as you're handling the case for Pastor Brunson, held by a NATO ally, as we've said. The letter was sent, Sharon asked on Facebook when the letter was sent. It was sent April 24th. We sent it to all the NATO countries.
Absolutely.
Have not gotten a response back. Now, in normal speak, that would seem outrageous, but I will tell you, is the way NATO and these governments work, we're probably due for a response about now. That's how it works with these countries. But, you know, when you take a look at Turkey, this is not the Turkey of Ataturk.
Right.
This is a rising Islamic regime inside of Turkey.
Well, and I think that goes to what Harry was saying, too. You know, NATO... Since NATO was formed, enemies change. So, you know, communism might have been the enemy, but now we have, you know,
Islam
terrorists.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now Turkey changing. So you have to take that into consideration that, you know, even allies can change.
Yeah.
And so we literally...
In 70 years, certainly.
Right. We literally now have an ally who's still a member of NATO, who is a NATO ally that has held an innocent American citizen and pastor literally hostage in prison for over a year and a half, didn't even charge him with any crime for almost over a year and a half. This should not be tolerated. There needs to be action taken. Somebody needs to hold Turkey responsible, and NATO should be that one of those entities holding them responsible.
We've actually written a book about it, Burning Bridges, Turkey's Return to Islamic Authoritarianism, and we wrote this book based at our center at Oxford because that the fact was, and we were way ahead of the curve when you think about it. I mean, we were writing this 2 and 3 years ago. And this was a book we put together, which if we'll figure out a way for people to be able to get it. I don't know if it's up on the site or how you can get it. But it's a book that we put together about Turkey's return to Islamic authorization. And, Than, that begs the question. I think Cece and Harry both raised a very valid point. You know, your allies can change. And this one certainly changed. It's a big ally. Turkey plays a pivotal role. Don't get me wrong. But they have certainly changed as far as their authoritarianism, as far as their Islamic roots, as far as the emphasis on an Islamic model of control as a caliphate. What's your sense?
Well, it all tacks back to that call that we just had from Michaela, Jay, and my compliments to her for thinking through this issue so carefully. I think if you watch the news reports, about 90% of the coverage is going to be about this GDP spending issue. But if you look at the public priorities of the White House for heading to the NATO summit, that's just one of the 3 points. Jay, the other 2 points are strengthening deterrence and defense, and number three, enhancing NATO's role in the fight against terrorism. That speaks to the immigration question that Michaela raised, specifically on Germany. It speaks to the human rights and sort of Islamization of Turkey that you just discussed with Cece. So the White House, while the press is going to cover the GDP question, the White House has put forward a comprehensive goal here. And look, I think if I were to tell you what was taking place in that conversation between President Trump and President Erdogan, I think the conversation that you just had with Cece, I think that's the one that was taking place between the two presidents.
Here's what President Trump said about you talking about the German-Russian situation. Take a listen to this, number six.
Ultimately, Germany will have almost 70% of their country controlled by Russia with natural gas. So you tell me, is that appropriate? I mean, I've been complaining about this from the time I got in. It should have never been allowed to have happened. But Germany is totally controlled by Russia.
All right, we're going back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go to Chris, who's calling from Nevada on line 3. Chris, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi. Hey. Isn't the only reason the other NATO nations are saying they will increase spending in 2024 is because President Trump will be out of office by then? Otherwise, what's the delay?
All right, then, is it a political move on their part saying they need time or what?
Probably partially, Jay, but I would tell you two things. First of all, three additional countries after last year have reached that 2% threshold. And if you can get a plan put in place for the other countries to get there, which President Trump has now accomplished, that can only be a good thing. I would tell you this as well, Jay. This is going to be an issue that voters in the next two election cycles need to go to the polls and elect a president that will enforce the agreements that a president can put in place. Look, you can never bind a future president on things like this, but if President Trump can leave to the next president whenever he leaves office a plan in place where our allies inside NATO have not only committed to reaching that 2% threshold, but have put forward to the world a plan to get there, the next president is going to have a much easier job enforcing it than this president did when he came in and there was no plan on the table.
Cece, how do you view the situation when you're looking at it, because you're dealing with these NATO member countries because of our negotiations? How do you sense the State Department's looking at this right now?
Well, you know, I would think, one, the State Department is as upset as we are that we're dealing with a NATO ally. But I think, two,
because when we had other cases, you know, in Iran, we had a couple cases out of Iran. We've had other countries,
right.
Sudan.
You expect those countries to act like
allies of the United States.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. This is the shocking one, because you do. You're exactly right. You expect that kind of treatment in those countries. And we don't have great relations with those countries. We do, or we should, we are supposed to have a great relationship with Turkey. So, you know, and I think it shows that these NATO member states just aren't as committed as they should be to this agreement.
You know, I'm going to talk to our publisher about getting this book distributed, because, you know, I'm thinking about this now. This book we did, Burning Bridges, it was before Pastor Brunson was in jail. It was before the rise of Turkey like it is now. It's before the election of the president. It's an important book. Maybe that's the next book we come out with. Burning Bridges. Turkey's return to Islamic authoritarianism. What it means for the rest of the world. All right, we'll take your calls when we come back from the break. Remember, it's last segment, so any calls on any topic, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We'll take your calls on this topic or other things you'd like to talk about. I'm going to do a quick update on Brett Kavanaugh's nomination at the end of this. I think it's worthy to point something out. 1-800-684-3110 again if you want to talk to us on air. And don't forget our matching challenge campaign. You can do that at aclj.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift. And again, we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to the broadcast. Everyone taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me go right to the phones. Christine's calling from Dallas, Texas, online for Christine. Go ahead.
Hi, Jay. Hey. Two questions.
Sure.
One, we have these members in NATO that basically have kind of a socialized medicine, socialized type government, and they spend very little on their military because the U.S. props up their military. So it's hard for me to understand why that's such a hard concept for that they need to be paying their fair share. That's one question. The other question is about Kavanaugh.
Let me do your first question, Christine, then we'll come back to you for the second. So, Than, this raises the question of priorities and what the president's basically saying. If you want the defense of the NATO alliance, then make it a priority to the NATO
and
members.
The priority. Yeah, and the requirement, Jay, part of the alliance agreement is that they spend 2% of their GDP. So we're talking about their spending on their own defense. That way that the United States does not have to prop them up as much. And just one other point I'd make to Christine, she may know this already, but much of that defense spending for these countries, Jay, ultimately gets spent in the United States because we are the most robust, the most efficient, the most current defense manufacturer in the world. So a lot of that 2% of say, Germany's GDP might be spent in the United States. On that apparatus.
So we're saying get your and hang on, Christine, I'll get back to you in a moment here. Live up to your obligations on the financial end, and then what CC Heil, our senior counsel, saying, who's working with NATO countries right now, is live up to the concept of what the NATO alliance actually says in writing.
Right. They're not living up to their commitment. Their commitment to follow basic human rights and the rule of law. They have absolutely violated that commitment without a doubt with respect to Pastor Brunson. They cannot hold an innocent U.S. citizen in jail for over a year and a half.
So it's both economic, Harry, it's military, it's human rights. All of that's coming into play here, and the president has got a big agenda going over there.
Absolutely, and it also includes the concept of open borders, which Germany has been committed to for quite some time. And that's a policy that benefits typically global elites. It's important to note that Germany has opposed the United States on trade. It's opposed the United States on the Iran nuclear deal. It's opposed to the United States in terms of its commitments to NATO defense spending. And now it's opposed to the United States with respect to supporting the Russian military indirectly through this Nord Stream natural gas deal. So it's important to ask ourselves this fundamental question. Is Germany still a true ally of U.S. interest? And I think an increasing number of Americans are answering that question in the negative. Having said that, I still believe NATO is important. It needs to be reconfigured, restructured, reformulated in some manner. We should not give up on NATO, but we should demand more of our allies.
All right, Christine, you got another question. Go ahead.
My other question is completely off of this topic. It's on Kavanaugh. I don't understand. He got 57% of the vote to go to the federal branch.
Yep.
Why are the Democrats now fighting him so hard when they went ahead and approved him for federal, but now they're fighting against him to go to Supreme?
Because he's brilliant. He's a brilliant lawyer. He's a brilliant judge. And he's going to be a brilliant Supreme Court justice. And I've known Brett for a long time. And Judge Kavanaugh, we've had cases in front of Judge Kavanaugh. He worked on cases that we were involved in when he was in private practice on religious freedom. He's written extensively on religious freedom. But NARAL used to be called the National Abortion Rights Action League. I don't know what they call them. They mean something else right now, just NARAL. But they were in the National Abortion Rights Action League. They're not so happy about Brett Kavanaugh's selection, CeCe Heil. They say, and I'm not going to say it because on the radio station, I don't want to get in trouble, we'll be blanked if we're going to let five men, including some frat boy named Brett, strip us of our hard-won bodily autonomy and reproductive rights. CeCe?
Not shocked at all that this comes from NARAL, because this is what they're famous for. They never talk about the facts. They never talk about the issue. They change the word. They don't talk about abortion and killing a baby. They talk about reproductive rights. And here, what they're trying to do is go after him, not because just he's a man. They even go further. He's not just a man. He's a frat boy. So they are trying to now just make people upset because he's a man and a frat boy. Let's not talk about whether he's qualified.
I'd like to know where that is in his record that he's a frat boy, because his parents named him Brett. Is that what they're saying?
I have no idea that he's in with the cool kids. I don't know what they're trying to say here, but they're trying to absolutely.
He's 53 years old, by the way.
Change the argument. You know, not, hey, is he qualified? You know, does he have good decisions? None of that. It's he's a man and he's a frat boy, and don't let him strip us of our reproductive rights.
So as a Christian woman and lawyer and mother, what is your reaction to this?
I'm offended by NARAL and everything they do and say. So you can just take that right off, you know, the bat. I expect it of them. I don't think that too many people buy into this anymore, except the people that are aligned with NARAL at the core. But I think just the United States in general, we're not swayed by that he's a man and a frat boy. We're beyond that. Just because he's a man, he can make good decisions, and he has made good decisions. If he follows the Constitution, that's what they're worried about, because there is no right to abortion in the Constitution. They're worried. So they cuss and...
They don't say he's a judge. He was, served in the White House. They say they allege he was a frat boy. I look at this then and I say, okay, he's going to be confirmed now easier and probably maybe it goes from 53 to 55 votes.
I think maybe the cursing was your first indication of that, Jay. I mean, if that's what you resort to, you don't have a
I could have said it on Facebook and Periscope, but I didn't want to offend the radio audience.
Right. I mean, but look, let's address two of their points. First of all, they say they're not going to let five men overturn Roe. Well, seven men decided it. Then on their second point that he's a frat boy named Brett, I mean, I think pretty much all of the people who have looked at this has recognized that his credentials, his qualifications are unlike any we've previously seen. I mean, even today, Jay, Joe Manchin from West Virginia, one of the swing votes on this, said that he has, quote, and I'm quoting him now, has all the right qualities, unquote, to be a Supreme Court justice. So look, you can have an attack.
Bingo,
you can say that you
one.
Don't agree with him on ideology, but I think that's an indication that Joe Manchin is going to be the 52nd vote in favor of Brett Kavanaugh, some frat boy named Brett, to sit on the Supreme Court. Jay, come October 1st, guess who's going to be a justice? It's going to be Brett Kavanaugh.
No question. Chris, very quickly, please, from Texas.
Yes, I just click on Kennedy as well, that he had stated that the Constitution would be, he kind of quoted Kennedy, and that the Constitution is designed to secure the blessing of liberty, which is Kennedy's view of liberty, which is disturbing that he said that, and many conservatives are concerned, and also that Kavanaugh had said.
Yeah, let me just answer the first one because we're running out of time, Chris. Let me tell you something about Justice Kennedy. Okay, you may not agree with all his decisions. Not a justice on the Supreme Court you're going to agree with all their decisions, but let me tell you this. Justice Kennedy ruled with us about 80% of the time. So that's, you know, that's pretty good odds when you're at the Supreme Court of the United States. So, and let's not judge the judge on a quote here and there. It's 300 opinions. What's the judicial philosophy?
And
go ahead.
He also said that Rehnquist was his first hero.
Yeah.
His first judicial. So you can't take just one quote and take that out of
context.
Yeah,
don't take it. Don't take it. Yeah, don't take that. We're going to get into this. Maybe we can get into a little bit tomorrow. We'll see what the news develops. All right, that does it for the broadcast today. That one flew by. ACLJ.org if you want to participate in our matching challenge campaign. We hope that you do that. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate to the American Center for Law and Justice, we get a matching gift for. So we encourage you to do that. Also, if you're on Facebook and Periscope, stay tuned. We're going to play a song for you. And then tomorrow's broadcast, we'll see what the topic will be. Thought it was going to be something, but I don't think that's going to be happening now. What I'm hearing, I don't think it'll be any Sprock Page testimony.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.